some real good Bible believers up there.
All right, Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah. And we got last time down through the first couple of verses of chapter 11. So, Nehemiah chapter 11. And we can start reading with verse 1 again. Nehemiah 11, 1. And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. So, again, you have, it was interesting that the tithe was mentioned back in verse chapter 10, verse, 37, 38. And now here you have in 11:1, you know, 1 in 10 Jews apparently drawing lots to, who's going to stay in Jerusalem itself and who's going to live out in the outlying reaches of the farmland and stuff. Verse 2, and the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. So now we have another list here. You'll be done with lists soon. We're going to leave Nehemiah, I guess, and go to Daniel. It's been since 1996. I didn't realize it's been that long since we taught Daniel. So those of you that remember Daniel from before, you're old. All right, Nehemiah 11:3. Now these are the chief of the province that dwelt in Jerusalem, but in the cities of Judah dwelt everyone in his possession in their cities, to wit, Israel, the priests and the Levites and the Nethinims and the children of Solomon's servants. And at Jerusalem dwelt certain of the children of Judah and of the children of Benjamin, of the children of Judah, Athaiah, the son of Uzziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Amariah, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Mahalalel, of the children of Perez, and Messiah, the son of Baruch, the son of Kolhoseh, the son of Haziah, the son of Adiah, the son of Joiarib, the son of Zechariah, the son of Shiloni. All the sons of Perez that dwelt in Jerusalem were 408 valiant men. Specifies valiant men there. It's interesting. We saw earlier in the chapter where one through all the, or earlier in the book, all these men repairing the walls, and then there's this one guy that repairs earnestly. That's a pretty scary thing for somebody that's just been bottling along, griping and complaining and muttering under his breath that the Lord recognizes how you do stuff, like we've been studying in 1 Corinthians, right? So here you have not just men, but valiant men. Verse 7, these are the sons of Benjamin, Salu, the son of Meshulam, the son of Joed, the son of Padiah, the son of Koliah, the son of Messiah, the son of Ithiel, the son of Josiah. After him, Gabai, Salai, 928. And Joel, the son of Zikri, was their overseer, and Judah, the son of Senua, was second over the city. Of the priest, Jediah, the son of Joiarib, Jachin, Sariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshulam, the son of Zadok, the son of Marioth, the son of Ahitub, was the ruler of the house of God. And their brethren that did the work of the house were 822. And Adiah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Pelaliah, but the son of Amzi, the son of Zechariah, the son of Pashur, the son of Melchiah. And his brethren, chief of the fathers, 242, and Amashai, the son of Azariel, the son of Ahasai, the son of Meshilamoth, the son of Immer. And their brethren, mighty men of valor, 128, their overseer was Zabdiel, the son of one of the great men. Also of the Levites, Shimeiah, the son of Hashub, the son of Azrakam, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Buni, and Shabbethai and Jozabad, the chief of the Levites, had the oversight of the outward business of the house of God. And Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph. Now, Asaph is the singer from Psalms, so these guys are descended from the singers, was principal to begin the thanksgiving and prayer. And back Bukiah. Now let's go back to verse 17. He was the principal to begin the thanksgiving and prayer. David set up this entire family or subfamily of guys that handled music and thanksgiving and praise. Now we don't have a. They were the Old Testament praise team. I tell you this about it. I think that we underestimate the Lord's appreciation for real praise and thanksgiving. And I think if you're not careful, the song service goes flat because you're so used to the words and the music, and you can just sing and think of something else, and you have the words half memorized anyway. Besides that, you can hide behind the book if you're not careful. And just so you realize, go to 2 Chronicles 5 real quick. And you say, well, did anything ever important happen around all this singing and all this sect of this family, this fraction of this family that were basically, it was basically their job to sing and praise and thank and such. They were set in order and all that sort of thing. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, did anything ever come of that? Well, as a matter of fact, it really did. You have in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 where Solomon has laid out and set up the temple proper in Jerusalem. David just set up the tabernacle, but set up the pattern. Here is Solomon. He has dedicated the temple. And among other things, you will notice, verse 12, also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, so same family, these guys sing and praise and thank God as an order of service. Now, it's easy to see how that would become ritualized and ritualistic, just kind of like some of yours if you're not careful. But notice what did happen around this time, down in verse 12, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them as 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. So they had musical instruments, in spite of what the Church of Christ folks down south say. If you ever heard, most of you have never had much experience with a Church of Christ down south. Most Churches of Christ down south are little tiny country churches for the most part. Some are bigger, but they're little tiny country churches. They don't believe in music. So they have a pitch pipe, and you go, tweet, and then everybody sings a cappella. Oh. And of course, they believe they're water dogs. They believe in baptismal regeneration in Acts 2:38. They never got past that. Anyway, what I'm reading you here, verse 13, came to even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one and made one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking the Lord, when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord that had filled the house of God. I don't propose that that's going to happen here for you, but I do propose that if you sing with sincerity and solemnity, meaning what you're saying, and with all your heart, you might just get more out of it. Right? It's interesting, is it not, that it says there, in verse 13, part of that verse should remind you of something we'll see in Daniel here one of these weeks in the fairly near future, where they lift up their voice with the trumpets, cymbals, instruments of music, and so on. Don't forget that Nebuchadnezzar set up that image out on the plain of Dura. And when everybody heard the sound of the cymbals, the trumpets, and the music, everybody's supposed to drop down and worship this image. What that indicates is that there's a different kind of music for one, as compared to this. It doesn't tell you whether it's jazz or exactly what. Suffice to say, there is such a thing as sanctified music. And I dare say that sanctified music probably does not sound like what is played in the bar on Saturday night. Exactly where you draw the line is probably a subject for another week or another series of weeks. But people are not very careful In fact, they're not careful at all. Right? You have been exposed to more of this than most people will ever be in their lifetimes. You should be concerned about keeping the wording of your Bible sanctified, as well as your music sanctified. It doesn't have to be stodgy. It doesn't have to be just dead and ritualistic, okay? It doesn't just have to be just organ music or just piano music, but it does need to be sanctified. Let's look here in Nehemiah chapter 11. And we got down through verse 17, or part of it anyway, where these sons of Asaph was principal to begin the thanksgiving and prayer. Bakbukia, the second among his brethren, and Abda the son of Shammua, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun. All the Levites in the holy city were 284. Moreover, the porters, Akub, Talmon, and their brethren that kept the gates were 172. And the residue of Israel, of the priests and of the Levites, were in all the cities of Judah, everyone in his inheritance. But the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, Zihah, and Gizpah were over the Nethinims. The overseer also of the Levites at Jerusalem was Uzi, the son of Bani, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Madaniah, the son of Micah, of the sons of Asaph, the singers, were over the business of the house of God, the singers. For it was the king's commandment concerning them that a certain portion should be for the singers due for every day. That's something that David started, and it was not clear whether all the rest of the kings did so or not, but these guys are going to put that back in order, where there's a segment of just singers and praisers and thankers that spend their time thanking God and praising God and singing. Verse 24. Pethahiah, the son of Meshezabeel, there's a name for you, ladies. Meshezabeel, of the children of Zerah, the son of Judah, was at the king's hand in all matters concerning the people. And for the villages with their fields, some of the children of Judah dwelt at Kirjath Arba, and in the villages thereof, and at Dibon, and in the villages thereof, and at Jekabzeel, in the villages thereof, and at Jeshua, and at Molada, and Beth Philet, and at Hazar Shual, and at Beersheba, and in the villages thereof, and at Ziklag, and at Mekona, and in the villages thereof, and at Enrimmon, and at Zariah, and at Jarmuth, Zanoah, Adullam, and in their villages at Lachish, in the fields thereof at Azekah, and in the villages thereof, and they dwelt from Beersheba unto the valley of Hinnom. The children also of Benjamin from Geba dwelt at Michmash, Aijah, and Bethel in their villages, and at Anathoth, Nob, Ananiah, Hazor. Some of these just do not roll off the tongue at all, or at least not mine tongue. Ramah, Gataim, Hadid, Zeboam, Nebalat, Lod, and Ono, the valley of the craftsmen, and of the Levites were divisions in Judah and in Benjamin. Now, these are the priests and the Levites that went up with Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, Sariah, Jeremiah, Ezra, other names follow. But I wanted to introduce you to this guy. We've seen him before. Didn't say much about him. This guy has been a major player that you just don't hear much about. He's something of the blue-collar guy that kind of flies beneath the radar that one day the Lord elevates, and it's something that should inspire most of us here. Most of us are not very flashy. You're just not that good-looking. You're just not that talented. But faithfulness goes a long way, man. Look in the book of Haggai. Let's look at this guy and take note of a couple things. This guy has been a major player. Not mentioned a lot in Ezra or Nehemiah, just in passing. But when you start studying a few other books, you find him in some really important places. This just goes to show, folks, that if there's something that goes a long way, it's faithfulness. And followed quickly behind that, being where the action is. Now, you can't always predict where the action is going to be, but bottom line is, if there's something to build, if there's some place to serve, if there's a lawn to mow, that sort of thing, then be there, and somewhere along the way, you're going to get noticed. Notice, for instance, Haggai, book of Haggai, chapter 1. This is the second year of Darius, the king. So this is back during the time where the temple's being built. And, of course, there's all kinds of adversity with that. And so it is that the king had sent word after there was trouble in the land that they should stop building the temple. So this picks up there. At the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, so this is that Zerubbabel. Word comes from Hanani from the Lord to this guy. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Know how that feels? This is the prophecy that comes to Zerubbabel. He's the one the word comes to. You guys go out, in spite of what the king says, you're now going to be in civil disobedience, but you go out and build this house. Okay? It was him that did that. It was the word that came to him to do that. Look down in verse 12. 1:12, Haggai. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. They came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. A couple of things about that. I guess I noticed, first of all, here you have, now we're not just talking about the word of some city council person that comes down and says, you can't do that. You have here the word of the king, and a king can do with you what he wants once you disobey, right? In fact, he can do what he wants with you even if you don't disobey. But imagine the courage it took for these guys. Again, Zerubbabel is the governor of Judah, tells you twice, and he's been ordered to cease and desist this building by the king's order. Now you have a prophet one day that shows up and says, thus saith the Lord, build. How much courage does it take to build when the king told you do not build? Right? Second thing I notice is Joshua always shows up. Of course, this is not the Joshua of Joshua. But Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, was always with Zerubbabel. So it kind of indicates once again that sometimes it's as tough as it is to stand alone, it's good to have somebody beside you. That's why we go out two by two and such. If you're going to go out and do something all by yourself all the time, somewhere along the way, you're going to faint and fail. Okay? But these guys had guts. I mean, they went against the word of the king and obeyed the word of the Lord, feared God, and did what they were supposed to do. Notice furthermore, down in chapter 2, verse 21, just a couple more things about Zerubbabel. 2:21, speak of to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses, and their riders shall come down every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. A guy that's courageous will obey God and act when it's not popular. God will remember. This guy winds up being remembered in prophecy. Furthermore, look over in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4, next book over. Just real quick. Zechariah 4, 6 and 7. So this Zerubbabel that shows up a couple times in Ezra and Nehemiah, and you kind of don't get much of a picture, winds up being kind of a major player as far as the Lord's concerned, where this guy steps out and is brave when he needs to be brave, does what he's told, does a job well, and God remembers him. Look in chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and said unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Say, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. And this guy was somebody that God took notice of. As far as I can tell, he wasn't flashy. He was the governor of Judah, but he was very much unlike any governors that we see these days, or politicians who can't seem to find the guts to tell their wives to go take a leap, whatever. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 2, having looked at Zerubbabel, continue with the names here. Verse 2, Amariah, Maluk, Hattush, Shechaniah, Rehum, Meremoth, Iddo, Genutho, Abijah, Miaman, Maadiah, Bilga, Shemaiah, Joiarib, Jediah, Shalu, Amok, Hilkiah, Jediah. These were the chief of the priests and of their brethren in the days of Jeshua. Moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, Banui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, Mattaniah, which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren, and Babukiah and Uni, their brethren, were over against them in the watches. Jeshua beget Joiakim. Joiakim also beget Eliashib, and Eliashib beget Joiada. And Joiada beget Jonathan, and Jonathan beget Jedua. And the days of Joiakim were priests, and the chief of the fathers of Seraiah, Mariah of Jeremiah, Hananiah of Ezra, Meshulam of Amariah, Jehohanan, of Melusu, Jonathan, of Shebaniah, Joseph, of Harim, Adna, of Mirayoth, Helkai, of Iddo, Zechariah, of Ginnathon, Meshulam, of Abijah, Zikri, of Miniamin, of Moadiah, Piltai, of Bilgah, Shamua, of Shemaiah, Jehonathan, and of Joiarib, Mattaniah, of Jediah, Uzzi, of Shalai, Kalai, of Amok, Eber, of Hilkiah, Hashabiah, of Jediah, Nathaniel. If anybody wants to try pronouncing these words, you just raise your hand and help yourself. Verse 22. The Levites in the day of Eliashib, Joiada, of Johanan, and Jedua were recorded chief of the fathers, also the priests, the reign of Darius the Persian. The sons of Levi, the chief of the fathers, were written in the book of the Chronicles, even until the days of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And of the chief of the Levites, Hashabiah, Sarabiah, and Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brethren over against them to praise and give thanks according to the commandment of David, the man of God, ward over against ward. Mattaniah, Bakbukiah, of Obadiah, Meshulam, Talmon, Akab, were porters keeping the ward at the thresholds of the gates. You think the Lord knows who you are? Talk about somebody the world's never heard of, these guys. The Lord knows who they are. Verse 26. These were the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, in the days of Nehemiah the governor and Ezra the priest, the scribe. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing and with cymbals, psalteries, and harps. So again, where the Southern Church of Christ folks say that musical instruments are of the devil, kind of hard to show that here, right? You have musical instruments showing up all the time. Verse 28. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Netophathi. Also from the house of Gilgal, now the fields of Geba and Azmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gate and the wall. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them went Hoshea and half the princes of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshullam, Judah, and Benjamin, and Shemaiah and Jeremiah, and certain of the priests' sons with trumpets, namely Zechariah the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Madaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his brethren, Shemaiah and Azariel, Milalai and Galilai, Mai, Nathaniel, and Judah, Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe before them. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David at the going up of the wall above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them. That's the first reference for a while to the author saying, I. It's probably Nehemiah, perhaps not Nehemiah, perhaps somebody else, but a couple times through here he mentions I and I. So the author of it still keeping himself in the picture here. Verse 39, and from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananiel, and the tower of Maiah, even unto the sheep gate, they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I, and the half of the rulers with me. And the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Elioenai, Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets, and Maaseiah, and Shemaiah, and Eleazar, and Uzi, and Jehohanan, and Melchijah, and Elam, and Ezer, and the singers sang loud, and Jezrahiah, their overseer. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures of the offerings, for the first fruits and for the tithes, to gather unto them out of the fields of the cities and portions of the law for the priests and of the Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God, and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old were their chief of the singers, and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And all Israel, in the days of Zerubbabel, in the days of Nehemiah, gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion. They sanctified holy things unto the Levites. The Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. 1 second. Blah. Do some tongue stretches here. 13:1. On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, And therein was found written, oh boy, that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Just a reminder here, Revelation chapter 2. What was it exactly that Balaam did? Well, Balaam didn't curse Israel, but he did something bad in that he taught Balak essentially what to do, how to get God to curse his own people. Look in Revelation 2, verse 14. For I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. He taught Balak how to do that in hopes that God would judge Israel for those acts. Okay, so it was a sneaky, around behind the back way type way of doing things. Now, it says here in Nehemiah 13:2, howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing, that much is true. Look in Micah chapter 6. This is always a blessing to me to read, because it's a reminder of what the Lord does for us. Look in Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, verse 5. And here you have a admonition, verse 5. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye might know the righteousness of the Lord. So if you go find out what's going on between these two guys, you might know the righteousness of the Lord. Look in Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. And of course, various times Balak calls Balaam, says, go stand from this position, look down on this Israel, my enemy, and curse them. And all the time, Balaam, for whatever else was the case, a hireling prophet that he was, he could not bring himself to curse Israel. In fact, a couple times he made Balak pretty mad. Look in Numbers 23, go down to verse 21. Let's start with verse 20. Behold, I have received commandment to bless. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I, Balaam, cannot reverse what God did. Right? Verse 21. He, God, hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. It's an amazing statement considering the fact that all the time that Jacob has come out of the wilderness, he's been dying right and left under the curse of God with various things going on. He said, I have not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Gives you a little preview of the fact that one day we all show up at the judgment seat of Christ. For us, the terror of the Lord's there, right? But nobody else is there from the outside, because God hath not beheld iniquity. It's a family matter, right? Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 2. End of the verse, our God turned the curse rather into a blessing. Now, it came to pass when they had heard the law, this particular law being back in verse 1, that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come under the congregation of God forever, that they, verse 3, separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. So the mixed multitude involves both Ammon and Moab were, of course, Lot's incestuous conceived sons by his daughters who got him drunk, right? Okay, Ammon and Moab. So they're part Hebrew. I mean, Lot was Abraham's nephew, right? So there's bloodline there. So they're kind of on the back end of the family. Verse 4. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And this is where the fur hits the fan, because Tobiah has a problem. Tobiah is a what? Tobiah is an Ammonite. Go back to 2:10. Tobiah is one of those guys that has continually been a problem for Nehemiah and Ezra all through this time. Turns out this guy is repeatedly said to be an Ammonite. Look in 2:10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, they grieved them exceedingly. These guys were the guys that always tormented Ezra and Nehemiah. Look in chapter 4, verse 3, just to confirm it. Several times it says that Tobiah is an Ammonite. Well, you're going to find out that Tobiah is essentially living in the temple, which is not going to work. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 3. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." So this is a guy that is always on top of Nehemiah, and always undermining him and so on and so forth. Well, he's an Ammonite. And it goes on to tell you, verse 5, this Eliashib, the priest, was allied with Tobiah, verse 4. He had prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn and new wine, and the oil which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. For in the 32th year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. So he's been back and forth. This takes place during this time. Tobiah is living somewhere in the temple where they're supposed to be storing the tithes and offerings. Verse 7, and I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib, this priest, did for Tobiah the Ammonite in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. So Nehemiah is not without a temper. And he goes in and is tossing out all of Tobiah's underwear and clothes and suits and stuff. You know, throws it out of the chamber. Verse 9. Then I commanded and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God and the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. They weren't being fed, doing what they were supposed to do. So they had to wind up going back to their farms to make a living. Verse 11, then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together, set them in their place. There's where you get the phrase from, I put him in his place. Yeah, it's Nehemiah. They set him in his place. Told him, put him in his place. Verse 12, then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe and the Levites, Padiah, and next to them was Hanan the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this. Wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. That's not a bad prayer to pray. You're doing something for the Lord and you're getting flack for it, and doesn't seem like a lot of fruit comes from it. In fact, all you're doing is throwing stuff out the street and setting stuff up the way it should be. But, oh my God, remember me for the service that I've done. That's not a bad prayer to pray. Verse 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? For the umpteenth time, the Sabbath days, Leviticus 18 and Ezekiel, belong to Israel. It was something to be kept forever. We are not bound by the Sabbath days today at all. let no man judge you in meat and drink in respect of a holy day, the new moon, or the Sabbath days. We are not restricted by Sabbath days, no matter what the Presbyterians say, no matter what the old pogrom said, no matter what the newfound emphasis on the Reformation doctrines say. You're not bound by the Sabbath days. You don't even come to church on the Sabbath day, unless you go on visitation. Right? But anyway, it was a big deal then. Verse 18. Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of the Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind were lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. So when it says, lay hands suddenly on no man, doesn't mean, it means not to punch him in the mouth very often or very quickly. Actually, it probably means something else, but laying hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. Nehemiah is going to lay hands on us, so we're leaving. Verse 22. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also. Spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, oh boy, Philistines, and Ammon, and Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them and cursed them. Probably doesn't mean cussed them out, but cursed them in the sense of, I curse you this day, this is what God said, and therefore this is going to happen, that sort of thing. I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair. Made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yes, he did. Yet among many nations was there no king like him. He was good, that's fine, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Outlandish in the sense of strange women. Women outside the land of Israel. These folks were not supposed to be there. They were supposed to be dead, killed, and gone. But they're outlandish women because they're strange women. Verse 27. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? And one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat, the Horonite. This is Tobiah's buddy. Therefore I chased him from me. Like I said, Nehemiah is kind of a hothead, and it's kind of funny to read some of this. He plucked off their hair. Verse 29. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood of the Levites. Thus cleanse thy them from all strangers, and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, everyone in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. Thus ends the book of Nehemiah. Start Daniel next time. Any questions or comments? Just a soul-winning note. Don't pull anybody's hair out, okay? Probably not good for this dispensation. All right, let's stand and sing one more then. Again, we have Institute tomorrow night. Start at 6. We will have 2 hours of church history we've got to get done. I've got to get you guys ready for a test next week. So plan on 2 hours of church history tomorrow night. Try not to be late, otherwise you're going to miss something that's going to be on the test. All right, let's sing number 36. Number 36.
prayer. Father, thank you tonight for getting us here, and appreciate all, again, the safety for all the folks traveling here and yon, getting us through various ills and trials, Lord. I know there are families that have been through things here. The Grissoms just got back from San Diego. Pray you'd be with the family out there and the family here as well. Thank you for your goodness to us. Appreciate answered prayer. Glad that you've given us a commission here to pray and witness and read and study and have fellowship with thee. Father, help us to be lights that we should be and the salt of the earth that we should be as well. We look forward to your coming. Hope that it might be tonight, and if not tonight, tomorrow. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, Brother Jeremy is going to be doing the service on Sunday night for his missionary presentation, so plan to come to give him a love offering. We'll give him the whole service on Sunday night. Don't forget to sign the card in the back, okay? All righty, good night, everybody.